Well, Alex Newton, the chiropractor, is here, and some thoughts on a change in routine one way and another. I mean, we've got the summer holidays coming to an end, sadly. I don't
it's
want to bring the bad news
it?
To people, but they've flown by.
But Nottinghamshire, I think, have had been a bit shorter changed, haven't they? Because they've only had the 5 weeks, or will have only had the 5 weeks.
Oh, well, this is the...
They're getting the extended half term, aren't they, this
yeah.
year? So it's all gone. It doesn't seem very long since they finished. So poor things have only had sort of 5 weeks this time,
oh,
or will
bless
have had.
Them. Yes. Only a 5 week holiday.
I think the parents will probably be grateful for that.
See, there are two sets of people who are affected by return to school, aren't there? But there's the children, and then there's the adults, because it's a change of routine for adults just as much as for children. Also, it could be that as you've gone through the summer, you might have taken quite a few weeks off. Some people do, don't they? They'll like take all their annual leave.
They get the opportunity. Well, some of them have to, because there's no childcare. There's no family support there. But it does mean we're away from our desks, and there might have been some gremlins in there using our furniture and altering our chairs while we've been away. So that's something to think about when you go back to work,
that's...
either later this week or early next week, is who's fiddled with your chair, and is it still set up in good posture for you for your working day?
That's a very interesting question. And pertinent. Have you been observing what goes on here? We have kind of chair wars here some days. People going around demanding to know where their chair's gone.
Oh, I can believe it. Yeah, I hear about it quite a lot. People get very possessive, understandably.
And we've got different levels of possession of chairs. We've got some official chairs for people who've got diagnosed problems. And you can see out there, they have a notice on the back. This chair is for so-and-so.
Do not adjust.
Do not touch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it can take quite a while to get, you know, and if you do have some chronic problems, to try and get your chair in the correct position. And once it's a bit like your car seat as well, that can be, if you're the half been in your car and twiddled with your car seat, sometimes you can never get it quite back to how it was before. Just be aware of it, really, and make sure that it is set up rather than just being mindless and sitting down and getting on with your work, because we're very absorbed very quickly by those thousands of emails that have been coming in while we've been away and pretending not to see them on our phones and things. But, you know, make sure the seat is set up correctly and the desk is right for you before you start.
Right. Well, that opens up many questions about how we actually go about this. You've mentioned the car seat, which is always a thing about trying to get that sorted. I think of you every time I try and get myself comfortable in a car. I'm thinking, if only Alex were here to tell me, do I need my legs higher or lower, or my back straighter, or
well, your knees are going
back
to be. Your knees are always going to be higher because you've got to have that reclining.
Than my ankles, yes.
Yeah, higher than your hips. Normally we say knees
really?
Below hips, but
in the car,
your knees are going to be. Depends what sort of car you're driving, isn't it? But normally your knees will always be higher than your hips because the car seat will tilt backwards, and they do that for two reasons. One is so that you can keep your knees bent so that you can easily operate the foot pedals, and the other is if you have, I think it's a safety issue. If you have a front end collision, you have more of a concertinaing type of effect into the car footwell rather than a submarining effect into the footwell.
So you don't want to be laid back with your legs stretched out?
Not too stretched out. Mm. So you need to soften those curves. So the distance between the thigh and the torso needs to be as wide as possible. So the mistake often that people make is that they increase the rake of the seat. So the seat's very upright and almost past the vertical. And then the angle between the rake of the seat and the seat pad itself is very acute, it's very small, and this puts a lot of strain on the lower back and the pelvis, because it causes the pelvis to flare open, which you then in turn lose the hollowness or the lordosis of the low back there. And in doing that puts a lot of pressure on the disc, so that's why you get backache when you get out of the car. So if you recline that seat past the vertical, maintaining that tilting back of the seat pad itself, so you're increasing the angle between the back of the seat and the seat pad to maximise that. Now, you will then feel that you're sort of, as I said, you just demonstrated that you feel like you're leaning back. So if you bring the whole of the seat forward a couple of notches so that you're not overstretching with your legs and overstretching with your arms.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of cars have an adjustable steering wheel.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even know they've got that. So check underneath, see if you've got a little bit of a lever there that will release the steering column, and then you'll be able to pull the steering column towards you slightly. So you're reclining slightly, bringing the whole thing forward, and then adjusting the steering column to take sort of softer curves in the spine, so they've got a neutral position rather than a very acute angles with the spine and the shoulders and neck and things. So.
Okay. Well, we've gone around this particular loop a few times. I feel as though I learned more that time than previously. So I'm going to... So slightly leaning back, pushed in forward, yep. And then steering wheel to suit.
Up and, yeah, so it's not pulling on the neck and shoulders. There right. You go. One, two, three.
Yeah, I hope it is as simple as you suggest. And it wasn't what we were going to be talking about, Classy, no, but we've done that.
We can diverse.
Yeah, so absolutely, yeah. Take a diversion. But the office chair, so yes, we've got the official office chairs, then we've got the unofficial office chairs where people say, unofficially, that red one's mine. And then if they can't have it the next day, then there's hell to pay. You're sitting on my chair. Well, how do you know it's red? So people get very possessive, and that's because it can be very important in an office
chair. Well, maybe we could do 1, 2, 3 with the office seat as
really?
Well. Yeah, let's do that. So, yeah, just, you know, barely 5 minutes before you start work. So is the seat the right height? That's where the critical point starts. So bottom on the back of the chair.
Yes.
Feet flat on the floor.
Yes.
And are my knees slightly lower than my hips?
Your knees or my
knees? No, your knees. That's you're asking yourself that question.
Oh, I see.
Okay, we'll leave my knees out of this. Okay, so is your bottom at the back? So your knees, just about. You could do with going up maybe half an inch.
Going up. Now, you see, this is where the problem comes. You see, I'll try and go up.
It doesn't go up that high.
I'm as high as I can be here this afternoon.
There we go.
Yeah.
Now, once upon a time...
And that is the problem I do find in the office as well.
Yeah, once upon a time, I brought a little wedge in for one of your predecessors. It's probably lying in a cupboard collecting dust somewhere. Mm. So those little wedges, they're about an inch high, which would be ideal for you.
Okay.
I'll bring you one
like
in again next
wedge.
Time. It's a wedge, so it's narrow at the front, wide at the back. Mm. Really simple. The more basic the chair, the better they are. So is the height of the chair correct? Yes or no? Raise it up, because that's the critical bit, because then everything else fits in place. If your knees are below your hips, then your pelvis is rolled forward and you restore the normal hollow in the small of the back, the lumbar lordosis. Okay. Then is my screen in line with my eyes? So can I make sure that the top of the screen is in line with my eyes, that I'm not looking down too much or up at it? Is it in front of me? Oh, dear, Alan, we can't say that, can we? Because you've got one on either side. You've got a stereo screen.
I think they forgot to consult you when they designed our radio studios.
Yes, I was disappointed that I wasn't asked what would be useful. But there we go. But you actually using left and right equally, which is okay to do that. And obviously your guests are always in front of you. So you are using good neck range of motion, left and right evenly. Which I can approve of that. So that's going to be fine.
If necessary, I could move my eyeballs independently and look in two different directions.
That's very impressive. Yeah,
it's
you must
not,
teach
not
me
if you're sitting there,
that.
It's not. Because you just... Okay. You, yeah, but that's probably not such a good idea as moving my head and my neck. Yeah.
So seat height, screen height, and then try and keep your keyboard close to you so that you're not overstretching with the neck and shoulders. So bring your keyboard right in, make sure your mouse is nice and close, and anything else you're using frequently through the day, nice and close to you. There's no good having a printer there if you never use a printer, so get that away from your immediate vicinity, and make sure everything that's in your, what I would call the A zone, is something you're using frequently through the day. If you're using something very frequently and having to overstretch, particularly to one side, repeatedly during the day, then you need to make sure you either move towards it closer or move it to the other side or have it within that A zone there. So, seat height, desk height, screen height, and make sure that you are working within your A zone.
So going back to work, maybe worth getting in just a few minutes early on your first day back. Not only does the boss then think, oh, keen to be back, but also you'll have a more comfortable time because you've got that sort of opportunity to think a bit about yourself. Because I think if you arrive at work a bit late, a bit sort of stressed on the first day back after a break,
that's
the last thing you're going to do is spend 5 minutes sorting your chair out, because people are going, you were late and now you're just fiddling about with your chair.
Yeah.
So get in a bit early and get it sorted out according to Alex's instructions. Also talking about back to school, so thoughts on that to come. Back to school, and it's not too far away with thoughts on getting yourself back into work, but what about your youngsters getting back into school? Could be that they've got a new uniform, new shoes, maybe a new bag as well. Alex, what sort of things do you need to be wary of with your youngsters to make sure they don't end up hurting themselves?
Well, it's the older age group. I think we need to be more concerned about the secondary school. So there might be a lot of youngsters starting year 7 at secondary school, and there's expectations of PE kit and maybe a musical instrument to take to school, and then obviously the school bag. Now, at the beginning of the year, the school bag perhaps doesn't have too much in it, but if you're even getting into a sixth form or something like that, I often see youngsters going around with their entire year of work still in their folders and carting that in backwards and forwards to school every single day.
Yeah, so, the ring binder folder is a way of just getting bigger and bigger, isn't it? Yeah.
So be aware of that. Make sure that you keep maintain a small ring binder and transfer regularly. Don't cart a whole year's worth of work around all the time, because just in case you might need it. So, and I think these days there's a little bit more electronic versions of books and things, so people don't use textbooks quite so readily. But again, there is a tendency to have a number of textbooks in your bag, as well as your exercise books, as well as your pencil case and your lunch and your water, and it goes on. So being aware that the minimal amount of stuff is in that rucksack. Okay. The other thing to be wary of is how you wear the rucksack.
Well, I have one here to demonstrate.
A demo.
You can tell me.
I've got to describe it all now.
So I have a rucksack which I have had since April, and it's quite stiff, shall we say. It is, even when empty, it has a shape. So some rucksacks sort of just are made
collapse,
of cloth, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a good or bad thing about the different designs, or whether
this will be more helpful, because it's going to maintain that shape.
Yeah.
So some rucksacks sort of have got no sort of body consistency. So your items in your bag are going to sort of accumulate and drop to the bottom. So obviously the heavier stuff's going to hang there, and that's going to hang on the lower part of your back. Whereas yours, you'll be able to sort of stack it neatly and be able to distribute the weight slightly better. So,
well, we would hope so. And also, when you wear it, there's an adjustable strap thing going on. Now, I don't believe that I've ever quite got this right.
Okay.
So I'm going to pop it on, and you can tell me what you think. So I would go left. And then, see, the trouble is, then it's too easy just to leave it over one shoulder.
Yep. That's not good.
Is that not good?
Well, it's all right for a moment, maybe. Mm. But you know, even if you're going to walk any distance with that, either hug it towards you if you don't want to put it on your shoulder because it's too hot or whatever out there. But you've got to have really good shoulders to be able to articulate them into those straps.
What are you implying about my shoulders?
But the key would be, perhaps in that case, because you've actually got those clips that you've got there, you can actually release the straps so that the straps suddenly become longer to get it on and off, so you don't have to leave it at that set position each time.
That could work,
You could release that, and then once it's on, you can pull the straps down, which will tighten the straps onto your body again.
Yeah.
So would you like to try that again so that you can put them on a bit easier without
dislocating
your shoulders?
That could explain a lot, because I do kind of find
they're a bit odd.
Odd
length, aren't they? You've not quite got them the right lengths really there. Okay.
It's
not quite sure what you've really done with that.
You don't know. Well, this is the problem with a rucksack. You wouldn't have this trouble with...
So now that's going to be much easier to get on and off.
Loosen to the maximum length.
Yeah.
Got a bit of a twist maybe going on there. We'll have to worry about that.
You're going to have to.
So
pop it on. Much easier. There you go.
Straight on.
Look at that. You're not dislocating your shoulders in doing that. There we go.
But then, of course, the thing is you've got to pull it tight. So.
You should be able to just pull them straight down. So they should go. There you go. How easy is that?
Wow.
And then
How did I not know this?
That's why you've brought me in today, isn't it? To adjust your new rucksack.
Yeah.
Okay, so then it's going to be sitting up quite high on your back.
How does that look on my back there?
Hugging. Should be. Maybe I even go a little bit higher, so it's right up on the top of your shoulders there.
I think that's about it.
So it's not. Digging into the small of your back.
I'm not sure what's happened to that strap.
Okay.
Isn't this the problem, that you get a rucksack, you don't think about it. You could have your straps have got twisted or whatever. No wonder it can.
And then imagine you've got your school blazer on and things like that. It's quite awkward to get it on over the shoulder pads and things. But, you know, loosen off the straps, so when you take it off, you can unhook them. It lets it drop off back, there you go.
Where should the weight go? Should it be
relatively high up? Yeah, okay. So it's not sitting in the small of your back, because then it's going to pull you backwards and put a lot of strain in the joints at the bottom of your back there.
Right.
Some of them have a clip across the chest as well, which sort of helps pull it forward a little bit further. That'll keep it tighter to your torso.
Right.
But again, you know, it's all about the weight. So I think there is some evidence out there. We shouldn't be carrying more than 10% of our body weight, which actually is very small amount of weight, isn't it, in a bag? So if you think you're sort of maybe, I don't know, 70, 80 kilos, you know, you should only be sort of lifting about 7 or 8 kilos at a time. So quite a nice little exercise for the kids over the holidays. Do a little bit of mass conversion, get them to weigh themselves perhaps in kilos, which makes it nice and easy. Work out 10% and then weigh their bag and see how much that bag's going to weigh and try and keep it as low as possible throughout the term.
Alex, fantastic to see you. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. I will wear my rucksack much more comfortably from here on in, and I'm sure those listening will know how to ensure that they stay fit and well when in the office and sending youngsters off back to school. They'll be doing well for themselves now they know how to look after their backs.
Thank you.
Yeah. As ever, Alex Newton, chiropractor, Beeston Chiropractor, thanks for being here today.